Thank you, Daryl. Good evening. Ah, come on now. Look.
Good evening.
Let's try this again. It's good to see Caleb here tonight. Appreciate him being with us. I appreciate that. I got to pick on him. And he's brought Morgan with him. So Ruth chapter 2. Just keep your seat there. Ruth chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. As we continue going through this book little by little. Verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah, for 8 gallons of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed or satisfied or full. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where is thou gleaned today? And where workest thou? Wroughtest thou? Workest thou is what that means. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, The man's name with whom I am wrought today is Boaz. Let's pray. Oh, go one more verse. One more verse, then we'll finish. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the Lord, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Now let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings, Lord. We thank you for all of the children that are next door. We pray that you'll bless, and I pray the gospel will get out to all of those children, and I know it is, and I pray, God, you'll be with each of the workers, be with us in here tonight as we look over this wonderful book and see what we can get from these few verses. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. I guess you could, this is number 8, Jason. I guess you could say, what am I going to do with all this barley? Because there's a lot of barley that Ruth gets. But I'm sure we've all heard the song, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Have you ever really tried to count your blessings? Really and truly, you run out of space. Now, I've heard some Christians say, I just want crumbs for the master's table. You know what they say in Solid Daisy? Hogwash. That's not in the Bible. That's why we got so many crummy Christians. But I want everything that God has for me. I want everything he has for me. Talking about blessings, counting your blessings. If you tried to count your blessings, you would not be able to have enough room. The psalmist wrote in 68:19, Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Daily loads us with benefits. All of us need to count our blessings. And if we did, we would find that there's not a calculator that can number all of the blessings God has bestowed upon my life, upon your life. But we're going to look tonight here in this few verses. We've gone through this over the past 8 weeks. We're going to look at blessings. The first thing I want to look at is how God enriches us through his blessings. Now, our text here, we're still in the same day we've been at for the past several weeks. And if you hadn't been with us, you can go back and look at the rest of the verses. But how God enriches us. This has been a wonderful day in the life of Ruth. You might say a banner day, a day she'll never forget. Because remember, they came broke. They came with nothing. Proverbs 28:20 says, A faithful man shall abound with blessings. What do blessings do? Well, first of all, they increase our apprehension. They increase our apprehension. Though all that had happened, Ruth was growing in knowledge. Remember, Ruth and Boaz, it's a picture of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. The knowledge that she's gaining, the things that she's learning. By God's blessings in our life, we learn how trustful his word is. We learn how meaningful his ways are. And we learn how powerful his work. This is what she's learning. When you are blessed by God, you will learn those things. She had learned in Ruth 2 and verse 3, it says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was a kindred of Elimelech. Now, I don't believe in circumstance. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe that. When she started gleaning in the field of Boaz, that was where God wanted her, because, and we'll see what the near kinsman means as we go along, but this is a very important field. It's not just any field. She just didn't hop out, start gleaning and picking. No, she hopped out in the field where Boaz owned it, and it's going to be very important. And if you'll remember, part of the welfare program there was they got the corners. The reapers would go and they would pick, and they left the corners. But if you remember last week, or maybe the week before last, Boaz told the reapers, leave a little extra. If you drop it, don't pick it up. In fact, every once in a while, just drop a little extra. Are y'all with me tonight? Just drop a little extra. So this is where we are here with Ruth and Boaz. She had learned something about the providence of God. Often our blessings that we experience teach us something. They teach us something. Notice in verse 14 it says, and Boaz said unto her, I know we're kind of going back over the verses from the past few weeks, but notice what verse 14 says. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed or satisfied, and left. Verse 17, and she gleaned in the field in the evening, and beat out that she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley, or about 8 gallons. There are some important things that I mentioned the last few weeks. First of all, Boaz invited her to eat with the reapers. That didn't happen. And then he said, the water cooler's right over there. Now, there wasn't a water cooler, but this is, he was telling her to get something to drink. The water cooler's right over there. Drink all you want. And he looked at the reapers. He said, don't touch her. Don't look at her. Don't touch her. She belongs to me. Are y'all with me tonight? I've got her. She belongs to me. She had a belly full at lunch, but as she left and went home, she had so much more. Psalms 37, 25. I've been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I was thinking today of the many times, and you think in your mind, the many times when you looked, and it wasn't there. The money wasn't there. The food wasn't there. I was pastoring down in Rock Spring, Georgia. Y'all have heard me talk about that 4.5 years. It was a struggle in a lot of ways. And there was one week when we were just broke. You ever been so broke that you were just broker than broke? Y'all been there? Some of y'all remember that. Just broke. I said, God, you've got me down here in the middle of nowhere. These people don't like me. I really don't like them. But we're broke. Went to the mailbox, Beverly. I don't go to the mailbox, but I went to the mailbox. There was an envelope with a check from somebody I hadn't seen in 10 years. She said, Preacher, I was thinking about you and God told me to send you this. I liked how to fit. That's God. Amen. And ever so often, somebody would walk up. I remember one Sunday morning, I was preaching, and I was a little more active back then. Didn't have all the creaks and crevices I have now. And I stomped my foot and broke my shoe. I wore that broke shoe for 2 or 3 weeks, and I had no money to fix it. Lady walked up to me and said, Preacher, here's $100. Go buy you some shoes. God takes care of you. Amen. Y'all can think of stories like that. Y'all can think of the time when you didn't have, but then all of a sudden, something happened in your life, and you had it. One time I was praying. I needed a job, needed to go to work, needed some money, and get a phone call on a Saturday afternoon from the Union Hall, and that never happens. And I said, I bet I'm going to Bowater. Hello? Hey, Joe. You go to Bowater? I said, I'll be there with bells on. I thought you hated Bowater. I said, I do, but I like to eat. Went up there on a week job, stayed 6 months. God takes care of you. Hey. Now, sometimes you have to go get it. Y'all with me? It don't always come in the mail. I check the mail every day, and it don't always come in the mail. But, you know, there's sometimes things like that happen. But this Ruth here was gleaning. She, remember, they came with nothing. But it's so important to point out, they came with nothing. But when they came back to Bethlehem, Judea, it was in the middle of a harvest. Do you think God knows what he's doing? You think God is in control? You think God knows more than we know? Listen to me. Apprehension now inspires our appreciation. In verse 10, it says, then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, unto Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Listen to me, it inspires our appreciation. It inspires our appreciation. Number two, how God entrusts us with his blessings. In verse 17, we see Ruth going home with 8 gallons of barley. She has all of this barley, and this is more than what most reapers would reap, by the way. What's she going to do with it all? Well, first of all, we look at seen by others. Look in verse 18. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave her that she had reserved for her after she would suffice, after she had had all she could. I can hear Ruth walking, kicking in the door, said, hey, open the door. Open the door. Remember, Naomi was a sad shape. Naomi was sad, but all of a sudden she sees Ruth and she goes to the door and opens the door and she sees all this barley. In verse 19, Naomi said, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Where did you work? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. In other words, Ruth, land of the living, where'd you get all that barley? Can you imagine? God had blessed her with all of this. I heard a question years ago. I've got it underlined here. What is it about your life that cannot be explained in terms of the natural, but only the supernatural? What is it in your life that you can just say, that's just a God moment? Right. Huh? You had God moments in your life? Amen. You had those moments where it's just like, I don't know how this worked. I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this worked. It was a God moment, and it was seen by others. See, when we have those God moments in our life, I remember, and I've told you the story of Caleb, the knot on his neck, and when all that happened, everything was good, and God removed it. I remember going into work, and they said, what's wrong with you? You're happy. Your son, he's got a knot on his neck. I said, that knot's going to be gone. What, 6, 8 weeks maybe? It was gone. They said, what happened? I said, God. Oh, they say, Weaver, here you go. You're going to preach. I said, look, I'm just telling you. You ask me and I'm going to tell you what happened. I went in to work the day after my mother's funeral. They said, why are you here? I said, well, first of all, she's in heaven. She's doing a whole lot better than I am. Are y'all with me tonight? It's a God moment. There's a song, I can't remember the name, the Steels sing it. It says there's 2 words that explain everything. That's God. That's God. Some of you have stories in your life you can say and share and tell us what God has done in your life. And it's seen by others. What God does in our life, we're not going to hold it in. We need to tell everybody. We need to tell everybody what God has done with us. It's seen by others. It's seen by others. Not only that, it's shared with others. I'm skipping a few things, folks. I apologize. And shared with others. Notice in verse 18, and she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought it to her. And all that she had reserved after she was satisfied. She was sharing with others. Many years ago, we were receiving a special love offering for a family in our church at Melville, when I was at Melville in Soddy Daisy. I'd announced it the week before. I said, folks, we got a family in our church that is in dire need. And I'm asking you, we had about 50 or 60 people. I'm asking you to please give. We didn't have no money for the church. We were just taking this up for ourselves, for them. And I'll never forget, Paula, offering plates went through this little bitty church. And the people we were giving this money to, they didn't know who was getting it. They put money in that offering plate. And then when we gathered it up, it was quite a bit. I walked up to them. I said, it's the chaplains. I said, here, this offering was for you. He said, preacher, I put money in there. I said, you can't outgive God. We were just talking about that, John. You can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. If you've been blessed, share it with somebody else. Amen. Don't hold it. Don't hold it in. If God has blessed you and God says, I want you to buy that woman's groceries, you better do it. Because if not, you're going to miss a blessing. If God tells you, if you're at the gas tank filling up your gas and you see the preacher or Kathy or Seth, not these other two yahoos, and God says, fill their tank up with gas, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry, not y'all. But all seriousness, God will bless you when you bless others. God will bless you when you bless others. We ought to share our blessings. We ought to share the good things, not just in monetary or whatever, but let people know about it. I like when people get up and testify. Here's what I've growing up heard. Well, preacher, had a miserable week. This happened. No, I like when somebody gets up and says, bless God. God's done this in my life this week. God has done something in my life this week, and I want to tell you about it. Hey. Y'all hearing me tonight?
Yes.
If God has blessed you, don't be scared to share it. If I'm in the middle of preaching and you got something on your heart, you just stand up and I'll hush. Because I guarantee you it's better than the one I got. If God tells you to say something, get up and say something. I think about Edgar. I don't know if any of y'all ever remember little old guy. He lived over down by the railroad tracks on Dallas Hollow, there before you turn left on Harrison Lane. Older guy, he pushed the lawnmower and carried a gas can. He come in up at Sequoia, smelled, looked awful. But everybody just fell in love with Edgar. One Sunday night, he stood up and he couldn't talk. He had half a tongue. He couldn't talk. He came up one Sunday morning and wanted to join the church by baptism. And David sent me down there to figure out what he was trying to say. But one Sunday night, he stood up. And Richard, I don't know what he said. He said, "Hey!" And he was just pointing up to heaven. All I know is that one was dry in the house. He wasn't talking to us. He was talking supernaturally. He was talking to God about what God had done in his life. To my knowledge, he never drove. To my knowledge, he never had anything. But when he died and he walked through the portals of glory, he had just as much as Billy Graham. Are y'all with me tonight? Count your blessings. Count your blessings. And number three, how God employs us by his blessings. We are enriched through, entrusted with, employed by God's blessings. The blessings we experience actually become an instrument for God to use. For God to use. You say, preacher, I want God to use me. He'll open a door for you to be used. And it's your job to go through it. It's your job to go through it. How God employs us by his blessings. We see in verse 20, it encourages a weak faith. Notice in 20 it says, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." When Naomi returned, if you remember, she changed her name to Mara, which means bitter. She stated that the Lord had brought her home empty. She considered herself living, but also dead. When Ruth walked through the door with all the barley, it was like she was saying, God hasn't forgotten me. God has not forgotten me. Ruth had a need in her life. God met her need. By that which God met her need, God met Naomi's need. There's been needs in your life. There's been needs in my life. I can remember as a boy watching my dad and my mom struggle when he got laid off, and it was a struggle. But I remember there was a knock on the door from the church. They had bags and bags of groceries. And I was so thankful. And I was 15, 16 years old, and I knew what was going on. I knew my dad was working himself to death, trying to make ends meet. And here comes the church. Yeah, we used to do that years ago, called a pounding. And they had a pounding for the weavers. We had so much food, and I thought about that today. When I was looking over this, my mama saying, what are we going to do with all this food? And I spoke up, we're going to eat. We're going to eat. But I remember some families just knocking on the door. Hey, Brother Danny, God told me to bring this to you. I'm a 15, 16-year-old boy, and I know what's going on. I see the cupboards are bare. We don't have any cable. And that just floored me. I'm 15, 16 years old. I'm supposed to have cable TV. Got to watch my live wrestling. But these people walk up and just hand Daddy money. Go buy your kids some groceries. Go put some gas in your tank. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen. It blesses my heart when we can bless others. But it's encouraging a weaker faith. When somebody sees that, they're blessed by it. Listen to what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 6 says. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is your consolation and salvation. You know what all that means. Paul, he said a lot right there in those verses. If God has blessed you and comforted you, you bless and comfort somebody else. If God has helped you, you help somebody else. That's what he's saying. Comfort those the way you've been comforted. And then we see not only encourages a weak faith, but it affects a worshiping faith. Notice in verse 20 again. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. Naomi praises God. Her weak faith is now a worshiping faith. I said Sunday when I had little old Zoe, or I wasn't holding her, but she was up here, we was praying. And I mean this, we're really, you know, we will pray a prayer of healing. We'll pray a prayer of faith. What about our prayer of thanks? Amen. What about when God does something in your life, you tell him, but tell everybody else. Tell everybody else, say, I just want to be thankful. I want to be thankful. We need to be more thankful. Worship. Worship is a part of our showing our thanks. Have you been blessed? Goodbye. Have you been blessed? Do you realize next week will be 1 year since y'all elected me as your pastor. In 1 year, we've gained 19 new people. That's amazing. That y'all come and still come back. That's what's amazing to me, that y'all hear me and still come back. But it's all God.
Amen.
It's all God. And I'm just so, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. Let me ask you, that's all I got. Let me ask you to bow your heads, please. A few things I didn't just, I'll just pray for us. Maybe you're here tonight, and before we go into our prayer time, and then we've got a very short business meeting. Before we go into all that, maybe right there at your seat, you just need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I saw a little old boy, probably 6 years old, in a wheelchair today. I was helping out in a funeral. His papa passed away, and as he went by the casket, he was waving by Papa. Be thankful if you got some loved ones that are still with you. Call them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. Because I do too many funerals. I see too many people say goodbye to the loved ones at young ages. Now this gentleman was on up in age, and he'd been sick a while. But I see too many drug overdoses. I see too many suicides. I see too many young people taking their own life. I've been down. I've been depressed. I've been discouraged, but I've never been that far. But there's a whole lot of people that are. Be thankful for what you have. You may not have everything that your neighbor has. That's all right. You've got what God wants you to have. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be like Naomi. What am I going to do with all these blessings? Pass them on to somebody else. Our Heavenly Father, we first of all want to tell you we love you. Although that we're not at full strength, but Lord, I could not be at full strength and still stand up here and tell you how good you've been to me and my family. The storms you've brought us through, the battles you've brought us through, the hard times you've brought us through, and it's all for your glory. I just pray that we'll all take a minute just to be thankful. Thankful for your blessings. Thankful for everything that you've done for us as a nation. And oh, we have been so quick to just throw you to the side. God, help us as a nation. Help us as a community. Help us, help our homes. Help our churches. God, help each of us to be more thankful for the blessings that you've bestowed upon our lives. Be with us now as we go into this time of prayer, as we take prayer requests and we share prayer requests. We ask you, Lord, just to have your way. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.